Hey, this is Simon Scriver.
And this is Nikki Bell.
We are running a virtual fundraising conference on November 19th. It's called Fundraising Everywhere, and you can find it at fundraisingeverywhere.com.
There's some amazing speakers that we've got lined up for you. We've got some names on there that you will be familiar with and some speakers that you may not have heard before, but all of them will be sharing amazing fundraising methods that are proven to work, and they will be teaching us how to do that in our own charities.
We've tried to make it really affordable for all organizations, but for small charities, it is completely free. So go look at it at fundraisingeverywhere.com, register now. Join us. It will be accessible, it will be affordable, and it is amazing.
Yes.
You're listening to Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar podcast, talking all things fundraising, charities, nonprofits, and more. Here's your host, as always, Simon Scriver.
Recently, I saw an article on the website Charity Digital, and it was about how Greenpeace is using Facebook Messenger to recruit regular donors. And I found it really interesting, you know, something actually new, something that was actually working. And then who did I see quoted in it? Only my guest for today, my old, I was going to say old friend, but more old acquaintance, Grainne Callan, who is the head of supporter recruitment at Greenpeace. And so I'm very happy to have Grainne with me today. Hello, Grainne.
Hi, Simon. How are you doing?
Why do you sound so, like, panicked? You sound like I've just surprised you in the hallway.
This is my new podcast voice.
Oh, really? Okay, well, see if you can start to speak normal throughout. Have you? Just, like,
okay,
around the house?
Yeah.
Okay. How are you, Grainne?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
And do you think it was a fair description for me to say, you know, you're an old time acquaintance? I mean, we've known each other 10 years now.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go down the more, you know, she was the grasshopper. Now she's the master or something, Bruce.
You're referring to the fact that I used to be your mentor and boss.
Correct. Yes. My very first job in the sector was in the agency that you were in running at the time. And that's when I found out that you could get jobs in the charity sector. And here I am now.
Yeah, it's always surprising. There are real jobs in the sector. But you've done very well for yourself. You are now head of supporter recruitment. Is that right?
That's correct, Greenpeace UK. Yeah, so that's, well, yeah. So I've been working in the UK charity sector for about 7-8 years now. So five of those at Amnesty International and the last year and a half at Greenpeace, which I'm really enjoying.
So you're all about bringing in new regular donors or regular and one-off, online and offline?
Yeah, so you mean at Greenpeace now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so our team essentially is tasked with bringing in all the new financial regular giving donors into Greenpeace. We work alongside our face-to-face team. We have an in-house face-to-face team, really, really successful face-to-face team. They recruit sort of about a third of our donors, and then my team takes in the other two-thirds of the new regular givers. So this year we think we're going to hit, well, maybe I shouldn't say it before we hit it, but we wanted to hit around 35,000, but we think
regular donors.
Yep. Wow. But we think we're going to do much better than that. If all keeps going on track.
Wow, that's big. So you kind of know what you're doing these days.
Yeah.
Wow, how things have changed. And so the people who don't come through face-to-face, where are your regular donors coming through? Like, there's a big mix of them.
Yeah, so like I said, third coming through face-to-face, which is really, really good program. So not to underestimate what they do. They're bringing in around 10,000 donors this year and probably more next year, with really good attrition and quality and all the rest. So then everybody else that comes through my team, and we do that largely through lead generation. So we're bringing in, like, basically classic kind of funnel approach, bringing in lots of people at the top. And we mostly do that through digital channels like Facebook, Instagram, a little bit on Twitter, but mostly Facebook and Instagram. And I would say this year, 50% of the volume of those leads will come through paid advertising. And okay. The other 50% will come through organic leads coming through.
Wow.
So we're quite lucky. Obviously, the nature of our work is campaigning, and we have, you know, big campaign teams, each of which has a digital mobile mobilization campaigner.
Uh-huh. Who's
part of their role is to generate new people into Greenpeace, new people to take action for us. Uh-huh. So those new people that come in through these organic sources, then come into my team for conversion.
Wow.
And so on and so on. So then we bring them through, you know, all these different conversion routes, whether it's off the back of thank you pages, email, and then obviously telephone fundraising is a huge part of how we convert our donors at the end.
Yeah, I can imagine. So that's still working well.
I think a lot of people have asked me about this before, that, you know, our digital, particularly our paid program, is quite a successful one. But a lot of times I like to try and emphasize, yes, it is really, really good. But the conversion part of it is still traditional tools like telephone fundraising. That's uh-huh. still how we convert 60% of all these leads we bring through. The other 40%, which is really, really good, happens, you know, through our website or thank you pages, email, and all of those things. But without the telephone fundraising bit, like, that's probably where we spend the most of our money as well.
Oh yeah. And that, so that, I mean, obviously mm-hmm. they're all working well together. I think there's loads in there that we could talk about today, but I want to, mm-hmm. or other days, but I want to particularly focus on the Facebook Messenger stuff, because I hadn't really seen anyone doing it, or at least doing it successfully. I feel like there's like a number of organizations who have dabbled in it, usually down like the chatbot route or the automated route, and mm-hmm. you know, and some kind of quirky stuff. But you seem to have taken elements of like direct dialogue and these telephone conversations that we know work really well, and you seem to have brought that into Messenger. Could you maybe just explain how the process works a little bit?
Yes, where to start. So, like I say, we're bringing all these leads through. We convert them on telephone, we convert them on email, but we were finding we were so successful bringing in lots and lots of leads, and great. We were the people that who were picking up the phone, or the people that were opening the email, we were doing a really good job at successfully converting them. But there were thousands and thousands of people and leads that we brought in the middle that we were never contacting. So we were looking for a new space, like where are these people? And we recruited them digitally and on Facebook and Instagram. So that's where they are. So we looked at, okay, well, how can we contact them and have conversations with them, which led us to Facebook Messenger. So like you said there, we'd already done a little bit with the bot sort of thing that we'd used on one of our Antarctic campaigns. So we had that kind of infrastructure set up.
Uh-huh.
And then we just looked at, okay, well, how can we use this to use all the skills that we have in telephone fundraising or face-to-face fundraising, those sort of direct conversations with people, which we know works best to actually convert people through to joining.
Uh-huh.
Let's try that on Instant Messenger. Can we get people to talk to us on the Messenger app? Because we know they're there, because they're signing our petitions, they're doing lots of things for us, other types of engagement. So that's the spaces where people are. And we wanted to look for a tool that we could speak to these people in those spaces. So Facebook Messenger was the first obvious place we went to. So that's where we began. So the first place that we started was by targeting people that we'd already brought into our funnel. So people who'd done a petition, liked our page, shared something for us, done a quiz, you know, all these different pieces of engagement that we had already done some paid, or they'd done this, you know, organically come to us, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So there's thousands, millions of people, you know, there that we could speak to. And that's where we're at the moment. They're the people that we're targeting with our ads.
But, so but
direct targeting.
They never reached the telephone part because what, they hadn't provided a telephone, or they weren't picking up the telephone, and it just wasn't possible to have a conversation with them.
Exactly. Both of those reasons. The first biggest reason being they haven't given their telephone number. So 60-odd% of people, you know, won't leave their telephone number or give us their kind of opt-in. Uh-huh. So there's a huge chunk of people already that we have brought in, but we have no way of contacting other than email. So we know email is a tiny, tiny, you know, you need huge volumes to be able to get people to open, and that conversion is, you know, really difficult in terms of volume. So yeah, the people who haven't left their phone number, or just the people that we can't get in touch with because contact rates are quite difficult these days. But these were the people we wanted to speak to. So huge volumes of people in there that we were able to target with our Facebook ads. So for example, Simon, if today you do a Greenpeace petition and you're really into it and you really want the supermarkets to stop using plastic, but you don't give us your phone number for whatever reason. Because
what if I have a lot of orange juice and I need to carry it?
If you have a lot, well, you could just bring a container that you already have and you can fill up your orange juice in that. Or the supermarkets can provide a sensible solution for that.
Okay.
Because you're paying them a lot of money for your orange juice. So the onus should be on them to do that.
Okay, fair point. Sorry, go on.
But anyway, so you sign our petition, but for whatever reason, you have decided not to leave your telephone number because you've read an article on GDPR recently.
Yeah.
And you're really passionate about not leaving your telephone
number. Yeah, and I don't want to get harassed because people are always harassing me on the phone and stuff like this. Yeah. So I don't leave my phone number. So then I'm just sitting back, chilling.
You get a lot of phone calls.
No,
I'm surprised.
No, but I mean, people don't, but there's just that mentality. It's like, I don't want to be harassed. Yeah. People are calling me all through the night. So I'm that person. Exactly. Sorry, I'm in character.
Okay. So yes, that person now, I went, well, I really want to talk to Simon because he signed this petition. I know he's really engaged with our topic. So how can we reach him? So what will happen is over the next 30 days, we will first target you with a direct debit ad. So just a straight direct debit ask. And you might ignore that. You mightn't see it. You decide not, you know, you're not engaged enough to go for that. And the next 30 days is when we will target people with a Facebook chat ad. And this is, by the way, the current setup. We're not saying this is the way to do it. This is just currently the way we have it set up. So we've like so much testing to do on this to find, you know, the right way to do it.
Sure.
But for the moment, you would see an ad and it would be about, probably be about plastic again. We'd say, do you want to chat to us about this? So you'd click yes, send message. And then a pop-up comes up and you're engaged talking, physically talking with one of our fundraisers who is there to have a chat with you about plastic.
A human being in your office. Who's sitting
an
there
actual
talking to,
human being.
I mean, talking to them on the keyboard, which I just think, you know, it's so weird that that's mind-blowing to me because there's so few people who are doing like real-time chat.
Yeah. Because there's lots to it. Like people are getting more used to real-time chat in terms of supporter services or customer care. So if you go on to your bank or you go on to Vodafone or Ryanair, which is the one that I'm on most of the time, or you have an issue or a complaint or something like that, the little pop-up comes up and you're usually speaking to some guy or girl who's a real person that you're speaking to answering your queries. So people are using it, but mostly for like customer care, that kind of thing. That's what the big companies are sort of paying people for.
What's interesting, the customer care thing I found sometimes is like, do you want to chat to us? And then you say, yeah. And initially it's not a human. It's like they try and do the bot thing and you say like, oh, I'm trying to change my flight or I need to return this. And that it's always a shit show. Like it's always like they don't understand or they don't have the answer. Or it's like, yeah, I know exactly what you're trying to say to me, but I need to talk to someone. So you're going straight to the conversation.
Straight to the conversation. So it's immediately real, that it's a real person talking to you. Just down to the way that our fundraisers, you know, the style of chat that they use, it's not like scripted, obviously. It's very, you know, the way you would message your friends or the way you would message anybody. Straight away they're through to a real person. And it should be you know, relatively obvious that it's a real person you're speaking to, because, you know, it's not one of those automated blocks of text that just gets sent to you. It's a person saying, hey, how are you? It's Tuesday, you know, kind of bad weather out there, or whatever it might be. You just know it's a real person. So we've got, on any given day, basically what happens is we normally have two fundraisers working at any time.
Uh-huh.
So they work between 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. That's the current structure every uh-huh. single day. Sunday seems to be our busiest day in terms of traffic to the... Yeah, we... So, I mean, again, we're really at the early stages of this, so we don't have... I don't have any data to...
Yeah, and we're not going to hold you to it, but...
Yeah, but we figure that's just, you know, that's just people at home. They're just on their phones, and they're this is kind of that, you know, dwell space, as they say in marketing. So it's the perfect place to kind of... They do say that.
Oh, do they? Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
And so they're coming through this conversation. You know, it's kind of like the direct dialoguers, or, you know, chuggers, if people want to use that word, but it's those kind of... they sound like a human, you know. They're not going through the guidelines of set wording as such. They're just talking like someone would talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. And the fundraiser can see which ads that the supporter has clicked on. So whether that's one of our plastic ads, or about palm oil and forests, or about the oceans. So they'll initially engage in those conversations. Oh, you're interested in this, and blah, blah, blah. And they kind of... beauty of it is they can send images or videos, or, you know, updates from different places that Greenpeace has been mentioned that day, you know, with a particular win that we've had, or something that we've been able to influence. So hopefully we can kind of show what Greenpeace is doing within that space to make things better or make change. But we can also really easily show how things, you know, the urgency, all the classic tools that are used in telephone fundraising or face-to-face, like the problem, need, solution, urgency, all of that kind of thing, done in the same way, just in chat format on Facebook Messenger. But the differences, there are obviously differences. So, for example, some of our fundraisers can be having up to 6-7 conversations at a time with different people, because, you know, you mightn't reply that quickly, because you could have lots of other tabs. Of course. You're chatting to one of our fundraisers, but you might also be, I don't know, like looking up to see what's happening on the next episode of Geordie Shore or something like that, depending on what your interests are.
Yeah, which I am. and who are these people? Like, I mean, I know you pretty well. You're not the kind of person that would click on an ad to talk to a stranger. And for me, that seems so weird that someone would want to have this conversation. So who are these people who are seeing the ad and going, yes, I must talk to someone in the Greenpeace office on a Sunday about plastic bags?
Yeah, but I mean, don't you think the same about telephone fundraising? Like, I haven't answered my phone to anybody except my mother in about 10 years. So, I mean, I'm the same thing. Like, somebody rings me, or like people that leave voicemails as well. Like, who are these people?
And it's the worst. I got this cool tool through Google where if someone leaves a voicemail, it transcribes it for me. So I get an email and I just read it and then ignore it. But I don't have to actually go through the action of listening to it before I ignore it. So, I mean, what you're saying is...
I didn't even know that existed.
I know, it's cool. What you're saying is we are not the target audience. These are different people. And like all fundraising, we have to acknowledge that. But they're obviously pretty passionate about what they're seeing. What do they want to talk about?
Yes, they're definitely passionate. And they're on Facebook as well, which is another thing I'm not on, even though that is my bread and butter of advertising. But, you know, there is a certain demographic on Facebook, and that's fine. So what they want to talk about is, so what we've found, so people will come through on an ad. So it could be about nuclear, renewable energy, fracking, oceans, forests, but inevitably what they want to talk about is their shopping habits and plastic. Like, no matter what way the conversation goes, that's what it comes back to. It's like people just want to tell us about the straws that they're using or not using, about the new cup that they have and you know, all of this. Because people, that's kind of just real life, and that's what people just want to talk about, something that's tangible. And
yeah,
I guess they want to show the good stuff they're doing and all of that.
Do they brag? Or is it just they need to share this with someone and their friends don't care?
I think because, kind of coming back to that thing about the skills from telephone fundraising, you know, what fundraisers will do really skillfully is they'll talk about the problem and kind of do that thing like, wouldn't you agree with this? Mm-hmm. Don't you agree that's bad? And so when the person's like, yeah, that's terrible, I'm always telling my friends this is really bad, here's mm-hmm. a picture of my cup, my reusable cup that I've just bought, and they'll send a picture of it, or they'll
that's
send
kind
a picture
of sweet
again.
Isn't it? That's kind of lovely that they want to share this.
And we get a lot of cat pictures. We get significant amount of cat pictures on a daily basis. Wow. And I know what you're thinking. Have we ever got weird pictures? But not yet. We haven't got any weird pictures.
Like you're talking about inappropriate photos.
Where your mind's gone to.
Okay.
Yes.
Like a kind of, I've got a nuclear reactor for you. That kind of sleaziness.
Oh, God. Yes. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Do people get weird? I mean, inappropriate photos aside, do people start talking about stuff that's nothing to do with Greenpeace? Do they start just being lonely people who want to chat?
Sometimes that kind of end of it's more rare, but people do definitely go off topic. But this happens on telephone and door, you know.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, this is quite gloomy, but you know, there are certain people who like to talk to Greenpeace about what's the term, you know, we just need people to stop having children, and it's all about population size, like that will solve everything. And okay. That can sometimes go to a dark place.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Those kind of conversations. So anyway, same thing with any good fundraiser, they just skillfully bring it back to you know what they were talking about.
They manage the conversation.
They manage the conversation. And look, if anything, like anything, if it does go too far awry, they can just say, okay, well, pleasure talking to you. Have a good day.
And so within that conversation, there's an ask?
Yes. So this is the kind of thing that the fundraisers over the last year have really been trying to perfect. Like when, how long should the conversation be before that happens? We haven't found the complete correct answer. Like it's not 3 minutes, 2 seconds, or you know, there's no set rule. But at the same time, we do think about it like telephone fundraising. You know, there's no point in being on the phone with somebody for half an hour. Probably if you haven't asked them the question at that stage, or you have asked but they've said no multiple times, then you know your hours work that you're sort of wasting as such. There's a nice way to end those conversations with, you know, giving people another thing that they can do. The fundraisers are just kind of, I guess, perfecting that at the moment about when is the best time. And some of them are really good, some of them have really found exactly types of patterns that work for them. So what we want to do is get some really good training practices in place from what the fundraisers have learned over the last year and document it. So that we can, for example, we're recruiting our first new fundraiser that we've recruited this year. So we're growing, basically, the team. And it'll be about using the same kind of principles from telephone fundraising or face-to-face. Like, okay, well, how do we train somebody new up? How do we give them the skills to have these conversations so that we can get people to join us?
Well, one of the really exciting things about it, you know, because I love door-to-door and street fundraising and telephone fundraising, as you know. But one of the great things about this is the whole conversation is there to look back on. So in terms of, you know, you guys are building quite an interesting set of data and that you could almost analyze, you know, and if you have a new starter or if an organization is starting to try and do something like you're doing, they can look back at the conversations and think, okay, what would I have done differently and learn from that? Whereas when you're having a face-to-face conversation, it can be quite hard to reflect on what's happened because, you know, you're just caught up in the moment of it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something we want to put a lot more time into because this has kind of been a test for the last year. Things like that are really obvious, like for a manager, a team leader to do like kind of quality control on the chat, to look over the fundraisers chats over the last week and see a pattern of something that worked really obviously well or something that obviously isn't working, shouldn't be said again, don't bring the person down that path, all those kinds of learnings. And that's what we're hoping to implement now for the next half of this year, like more developing that side of it. Whereas the first half of the year has been making sure that, first of all, that people are clicking on our ads. So ad management, how much it costs, all of that sort of side of things. Making sure that we've the right volume of traffic coming through. So too much, not good, because people click through and we don't have enough fundraisers to have conversations with them. That's obviously not good experience for anybody. But then the opposite, not enough conversations or enough traffic coming through. And like, to be quite blunt about it, then I could have two fundraisers sitting there that I'm paying for all day without any conversations being had.
Oh, I remember those days. Seeing you in the office just doing nothing.
I was researching stuff.
And on a really practical level, what's the back end of this? Are you using just all the Facebook technology, or have you got your own software that's managing this?
God, no, we're not that far at all, but we would love to have that. We've done loads and loads of we've spent a lot of time and sort of energy as well, looking at software that is suitable for this. And there's actually nothing that's like been created yet that's perfect for this. So everything that we're using at the moment is quite clunky. So what we use at the moment is basically like a piece of software through a company, which there are loads of them, but which is the same as any small business or anybody would use to just manage conversations coming through from, you know, if they were getting queries through Facebook Messenger, like for business, for sales or customer service. So it's really, really basic tool. And even after that, when we do ask people to sign up, you know, we're just giving them a link and they come to one of our landing pages. So it's not seamless. It's not ideal at all. So that's another thing that we're putting money and resources into in terms of staff time in the later part of this year, is to find something that will work much better for us, because there's all these points of drop off at the moment, which could be such easy wins for us if we could fix those, that kind of clunkiness.
Sure.
And our fundraisers are really patient with it, because it is really clunky for them. And sometimes they can have an amazing conversation. Somebody's like, yes, I want to join, sign me up, where do I go? And then the link doesn't work, or, you know, just like silly stuff like that. Which can obviously be really disheartening.
Yeah.
But I always say to the fundraisers, well, remember the days when the face-to-face guys had paper and it was flying all around the streets and it would rain and the ink would go everywhere. And but they're all too young to remember those
days. But like you say, it's early days. So it's, you know, I suppose the priority over the last year or so has been to see, is there legs in this? Like, can this possibly work? Yeah. And it sounds like you're certainly not ruling it out, but actually you're growing it, and there's a lot more we can be doing here. Like, you're hiring staff to do this at the moment.
Yeah, we set our expectations low, I guess, at the beginning of the year when we brought the team in-house. You know, and we thought, well, what's a reasonable CPA and what's a reasonable volume of people to come through? And just over the last few months, we've been able to double the volume, which obviously then brings our CPA down, because we're not doubling the hours of the fundraisers. We're just doubling the amount of conversions that they're bringing through. And I would say most of that's happened because the fundraiser skills have improved, and just them learning about how to, you know, craft the conversations. That's really what's improved. And we've done a lot of work with our ads as well, kind of manage and find out the perfect level of conversations coming through to a fundraiser every day, which seems to be somewhere between 300 and 500 chats every day that they're kind of having.
Wow.
Not full long conversations, just an engagement that somebody clicking through.
And in terms of the CPA, the cost per acquisition, I don't expect you to share it, but can you tell what it compares, you know, how it compares to other channels?
Yes, I'm happy to do that. So I don't know what the benchmark is for face-to-face these days, but is it around £100, something like that?
Yeah, that could be fair. But that's a fair estimate.
Yeah, and I think our telephone conversion CPA is about somewhere between like on a good week, £55 to £75.
Wow.
So we have this now just at around £100, our instant messaging team. So, which I know is a big jump from the telephone fundraising, but what we're trying to do is these are donors that we wouldn't have got through those channels.
Yeah,
so it's not like, absolutely. Oh, we can just put more money on that. Okay, don't kill me, but I need to get a charger for my phone because this one's not working. Can you give me 2 seconds?
Yeah, sure. Where were we? In terms of beyond the cost per acquisition, we obviously have to also consider the quality of the donors, which you know, it's obviously way too early to understand that. But generally, people who come through digital channels stick around longer than people who come through face to face. So that might be where the money is made up, where the difference is.
Yeah, I don't actually think in our case that's where it will be made up. So, well, we've done some quick analysis on attrition. So I'd say the attrition's okay in the first 3 months, but it's a really small amount of data to look at. And it can be massively skewed by just one fundraiser as well, because it's a really small team.
Sure.
So we're not looking at that, but it's nothing to worry about, I guess, is what the first data shows us back. But our face-to-face attrition is really, really good. So, well, the Greenpiece one is anyway. So they're like the creme de la creme of face-to-face fundraising. So, which is good because, you know, we have to kind of live up to that with this new channel. So we're kind of comparing more to telephone fundraising. But where I think we'll bring the CPA down is because of investing in these platforms so that we can have smoother conversations, make the conversion rate higher than what we're seeing at the moment. The other thing that we can do, which isn't so much CPA, but like even a really, really quick win for us, is we haven't tested anything on our landing pages. So, you know, like just different prompt asks, different pictures even that are more relatable back to the conversation that you've just had.
Yeah.
Different things like that. And just making it that they don't have to click out of the Facebook app would be amazing. But we haven't found a way to do that just yet.
Yeah,
but I don't think that would be too far away.
And we have to assume that, you know, with Facebook and WhatsApp integration, with Facebook getting into digital currency and stuff like that, that it's all going to become a little bit more seamless in the future, inevitably. Yeah,
definitely. So, like I say, clunky at the moment, but I think those small, like, things that we can fix will mean that we're having, you know, we're just physically able to convert people quicker, and we're not seeing that drop off that we're probably seeing at the moment.
Yeah.
And the other thing is if we can keep bringing more people in, like if our pay program continues to be successful, then that's more people for us to talk to, which is more conversations, which means we can grow the volume. And then if that keeps proving successful, then hopefully we can test it maybe with a colder audience, which is something we haven't done yet.
Okay.
Because we want to get this working, so we'll see. But if it did work for Coles, then the world is our oyster.
Yeah. Just the last thing I want to ask you, because I don't want to keep you too long, but obviously Greenpiece is a bit of a monster. Like it's a big organization, well known. If you were if you lost your job tomorrow, which is quite likely, but if you went into a small organization and you were trying to bring in something like this, is it possible for a small organization to do this on a really small level, just starting to engage with people who are visiting them and having, you know, not hiring a Facebook Messenger staff member, but just them, whoever's in charge of the Facebook, starting to have these conversations and ask?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Is it the best use of their time? Probably not. And again, I think it really depends what your cause is. You know, ours is campaigning, so it's petitions work really well for us, whereas there's lots of things that don't work really well for us, so that's sort of a brag in one way, but in another way it's not. But so we can easily bring people in, like big volumes of people, not easily, but we have that ability to do that, whereas, you know, a smaller organization wouldn't be able to do that, and perhaps petitions just wouldn't actually suit the kind of ask that they have. So because a few people have asked us that, like, oh, how will we set it up for our organization? And I think the only way we've been able to make it work is because we have this huge funnel of people to speak to that we've already engaged with a petition or something. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise we just wouldn't have the volume of people to speak to. So it would be sort of like starting telephone fundraising, but you don't have any data. So why would you do it? So the first thing you have to do is build up your list, like build up who you can contact, I guess, is what I would be advising.
Sure.
I wouldn't go hiring somebody just for this. Definitely not just
no
yet.
But I suppose that people listening to this podcast could dabble in it in terms of just having those conversations and seeing what it works for them. But yeah, like you say, it's not going to be worth putting too many resources into it just yet for them.
Yeah, and the other thing that we're hoping to do with it, outside of individual giving and regular giving recruitment, you know, when we is to maybe kind of outsource our team to other departments. So whether that's with legacy asks or even campaigning asks and that sort of thing, because they're really, really like great conversations. Like it's quite fun to read them. You can see that people are really warm when they're having the conversations. Just like if you hear a good face-to-face, a telephone fundraising conversation, there's a lot of value in it. So we do think that there's other avenues outside of just the kind of straightforward regular gift ask. And perhaps maybe when there's a time when we have a big appeal moment, we could go you know, straight with kind of cash sort of ask, which might work for us as well. So all of those things still to be tested. But from a small organization, I think those deeper conversations, whether it's with, you know, a mid-value donor or somebody that has shown an interest maybe in Make a Will Month or something like that in the past, this is probably a good way to engage with them if they're open to that.
That's cool. All right, cool. That's really exciting. Well, I will be keeping an eye on this, and hopefully we can chat again as you get more and more data and see how this goes. But for anyone listening who wants to perhaps know more about you, but follow your fascinating updates about GAA and stuff like that, where do people find you? Where do they follow you?
I'm on... Is it called LinkedIn? I'm on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yeah.
LinkedIn. I believe I'm on Twitter. I don't know my name, but it's Grania Mary, usually.
Okay.
You can spell that out, Simon, if you want.
Yeah, well, I'll put a link in the description for people.
Yeah. I'm sometimes hesitant to post about this or even do podcasts about it, because then I'm like, oh, maybe other people will find out about it and they'll start competing with us. But then it's all about sharing, isn't it?
Isn't it? I mean, it's about lifting the sector as a whole. And I always feel like when the sector becomes better, when more people are giving, it benefits us. I don't feel like, I don't know, I'm naive sometimes that I don't feel we're as in competition with each other as other people think. But who knows? We'll see.
No, I agree. No, I mean, I've shared the data, shared the numbers with anybody. I don't really mind at all. But, you know, Greenpeace were the first to do street face-to-face fundraising, and we think we're the first to do this in the world as well. So, we're happy to lead the way.
That's really cool. Always a pioneer. Yeah. Well done, Grania. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
Well done, Greenpeace.
Well done, Greenpeace. Oh, yeah, I forgot about Greenpeace. Well, thank you very much for taking time out of your day to talk to me. And thank you for being so open and honest about the positives and negatives of this. And lovely to chat to you.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Simon.
All right. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and head over to changefundraising.com to learn more or get in touch with Simon. Or don't. Whatever. You're big enough to make your own decisions.
Hey, this is Simon Scriver.
And this is Nikki Bell.
We are running a virtual fundraising conference on November 19th. It's called Fundraising Everywhere, and you can find it at fundraisingeverywhere.com.
There's some amazing speakers that we've got lined up for you. We've got some names on there that you will be familiar with and some speakers that you may not have heard before, but all of them will be sharing amazing fundraising methods that are proven to work, and they will be teaching us how to do that in our own charities.
We've tried to make it really affordable for all organizations, but for small charities, it is completely free. So go look at it at fundraisingeverywhere.com. Register now. Join us. It will be accessible. It will be affordable and it is amazing.
Yes.